Boston Private Perspectives. I'm Shannon Sakosha, Chief Investment Officer at Boston Private, and today I'm joined by Doug Fisher, who with over 25 years of experience provides strategic insight into political and policy developments in Washington. Thanks for joining me today, Doug.
Shannon, great to be with you.
Doug, could you set the stage for what we can expect from the 2020 election?
Sure. We are a little less than a year away from the general election. It is shaping up as one of the most critical and pivotal elections of our times. Much is at stake, including control of the White House and Congress. At this point, it's anybody's guess who captures the White House. On the legislative side, however, the Democrats need a net gain of 3 seats to control the Senate and the legislative agenda. This seemed out of reach before recent state and local elections, where the Democrats made big gains in Republican strongholds. Shannon, with this in mind, how are the markets reacting to various election outcomes?
I think it's a little early for the markets to react in earnest to various election outcomes. I think the reality is that most equity investors in particular view the last several years here as being particularly pro-business. So if you look at the gains that we've experienced in the equity market, many of them have been based on a combination of more of advantageous tax policy, deregulation, and just a sense that the continuation of growth in the economy was paramount for the Trump administration and some of their policies. That notwithstanding, we certainly have seen some uncertainty as it was created by the tariff situation with China, which actually pretty much started just after the 2017 tax cut was put into place. And so I think from equity investor perspective, although we would like there to be perhaps more transparency on the policy direction for trade, and certainly as it relates to some of our traditional allies and trading partners, I think overall there's an expectation that with a continuation of the Trump administration, that would be pro-business and could potentially support additional equity gains. The other thing to think about is that there's been much talked about the potential socialist leanings of some of the Democratic contenders. And so I think, you know, one of the things that we're looking for is some potential moderation of the platform of the Democratic Party. I think it's unlikely that we'll see that as early as we perhaps may have in other elections, given the number of contenders that still remain fairly relevant as it relates to the ongoing race. And so I think that as we look for, you know, market expectations and potential performance in the first half of 2020, we may see a bit more choppiness than we would historically, based on the fact that it may take us a little longer to determine who the nominee is, and therefore experience that moderation of platform that traditionally happens after the nomination is essentially secured.
Yeah, Shannon, let's put a finer point on that. The leading candidates are calling for a repeal of most of the tax breaks in the Tax Cuts and Job Act of 2017 for higher income earners. Democrats are also calling for an increase in the corporate tax rate, increases in capital gains rates, and a new tax on high net worth individuals. With the right election results, this could be a reality as early as mid-2021. Now, Shannon, when and how will the bond and equity markets react if the potential for new taxes becomes more likely than not as we get deeper into the election season and see the candidates rise to the top?
I think the likelihood of some changes from a tax perspective are certainly there with a Democratic win in November. I think that equity markets in particular will weigh the potential impacts to the overall economy from these changes in taxes. And so if you think about it in terms of where we are from an economic perspective, if there is expectations that while we've seen some softening in the economy, we're starting to see some moderation and some re-acceleration in the U.S. economy over the last couple of months. If that reacceleration continues and there's the expectation that companies could potentially digest or absorb some changes in those taxes and continue to still see growing revenue and earnings, I think the impact will be mitigated to some extent. On the consumption side, I think the concern is that there will be a meaningful impact to overall consumption in the economy if some of these taxes are changed. I think that has yet to be sort of borne out from a quantitative perspective, I think it's difficult to determine how much that would affect overall consumption. While I think that there will be meaningful revenue that could be generated from additional taxes on high earners and potentially changing in the corporate tax rate, I think a lot of it will depend on how the overall economy is performing to, number one, determine if the economy has decelerated through the course of the back half of 2020 and there's concerns about a potential recession, I would think that it would become less likely that a Democratic president would be able to push through changes in taxes at that juncture, especially increasing taxes if we are entering a softer economic environment. So I do think that there's a number of different things that investors are going to have to consider. Overall, however, the prospect of additional taxes, particularly at the corporate level, would likely lead stocks to look perhaps more overvalued and could create some consternation as it relates to equity investors. On the bond side, there's been much made about our burgeoning budget deficit that we've experienced over the last couple of years. Obviously, additional taxes would potentially offset some of that deficit and put us in a better place from a fiscal perspective. I don't think that we've really seen any deterrent in buying treasuries based on that large budget deficit, considering where global yields are and that our, you know, the U.S. Treasury certainly offers a higher yield compared to other similar quality sovereigns. What it could allow us, however, is that it could allow for some potential latitude for a larger scale fiscal stimulus solution should we look to pass one in 2021 or 2022. And we may need that if we see a softer economy. So overall, I think it will be a muted impact on the bond market, probably a more pronounced impact on the equity market, but a lot of it is contingent on where we sit from an economic perspective when it becomes clear if that of the likelihood of such changes.
Yes, Shannon, certainly policymakers will keep an eye on the economy when they go to sort of calibrate their new proposals. And there's a surprisingly amount of consistency in the proposals among the four top leading candidates. And we recently posted an article on bostonprivate.com on that topic. Shannon, what is your advice to your investors, considering we are nearing the end of 2019 and the potential for big changes in Washington? And you just mentioned there are a number of variables that you consider when developing your investment strategy for your clients.
I think the majority of our clients should remain invested in the long-term strategic asset allocation that we have determined is most appropriate for them based on their goals and objectives. While that sounds like a very simple answer, the reality is that from year to year, from administration to administration, things can change markedly. And so generally, when we look out over a longer term time horizon, 10, 15, 20, or perhaps even more years, depending on your age and your goals, we view it as being the best advice to continue on that track. Now, in the near term, there may be selective opportunities that we can take advantage of. There may be dislocation. We saw that in healthcare stocks prior to the 2016 election. We may see it again in other sectors as we move into 2020. However, we're able to take advantage of those, what I would say are shorter term opportunities, while still having the client remain invested in their long-term allocation as appropriate. So as difficult as it may be, especially given the amount of media coverage that we're experiencing, not just about the election, but also impeachment right now, it can be very difficult to look past that and stay focused on the long term. But that is the best advice that we can give our clients. And we encourage you to think about it in terms of not what's happening next year, but what's going to happen over the next 10, 15, and 20 years.
Great. Shannon, thank you for your insights today. And I look forward to future conversations on this topic as we get deeper into the election season. I would just say for our listeners, please see the bostonprivate.com Washington series website, where we've posted a great article comparing the leading Democrats' tax proposals. We are soon to publish an article on the SECURE Act, which will be passed by Congress here in the next day or two, which will likely affect retirement and estate planning.
Great. Thanks, Doug. As for me, I welcome any questions or thoughts you may have. You can find me on Twitter at Shannon Sakosha. And if you want to read more of our thoughts, be sure to follow Boston Private on LinkedIn, Twitter, or Facebook. Be sure to subscribe to the Boston Private Perspectives Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, or Spotify, depending on where you prefer to listen. And we'll see you in January for a discussion on market and economic expectations as 2020 kicks off.